And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and our theme in the second hour is a vision of something better. Each of my guests will talk about making something better, whether it's our lives, American manufacturing, or our relationships. My first guest is a leading researcher who revealed how the causes and solutions of many behavioral problems can be boiled down to his simple method. He and his co-authors discovered that willpower alone is not sufficient to change behavior. We discuss the new science of personal success from his book titled Change Anything. My next guest is a true patriot. He believes we, as consumers, must protect America's ability to produce products, create jobs, and remain a world leader. We'll discuss his leading-edge website, MadeInUSAForever.com. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Todd Lipscomb is the creator and the founder of MadeInUSAForever.com. Todd believes that America must remain a top manufacturer to maintain its place in the world and continue our economic success. Todd has spent over 10 years in the high-tech industry, including one of the nation's leading computer component manufacturers. He authored the book Achieving Prosperity, An Ethical Guide to Building Wealth. Todd worked abroad in Asia for 7 years and knows firsthand the challenges that America is facing. Todd lives and works and is joining us from San Clemente, California. Hi, Todd. How are you today?
Great, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy Brain. This is probably one of the most hotly contested issues right now in American business, and that is American manufacturing. A lot of our manufacturing is being done abroad in China, Indonesia, Vietnam, etc.
Right.
So make your case. Why does America need to continue manufacturing to remain an economic force?
Well, Bill, I lived in Asia twice for Western Digital, and I saw it all. And I saw how other countries are using manufacturing to, build their economies, and in China's case, to be the next superpower. They remember the need to be able to make things. It's something that we seem to be forgetting. And I also saw the terrible conditions for the workers and all the pollution over there. And it was little wonder that 83 million toys were recalled a few years ago because of the lead in the paint, because the conditions at the subcontractor level where the stuff is really made are horrific. And then I came back to the States and I saw how little was still made here and how hard it was to find things in stores. And I was haunted by it. And finally I decided, Billy, that I had to do something myself. So I checked it all and founded MadeInUSAForever.com to give folks an alternative. And the vast majority of our suppliers are small, family-owned manufacturers from all over our nation that know their employees, take pride in what they make, but just can't get into the big mega stores at this point.
All right, and the mega stores like Walmart, Target, etc., are always looking at price as the bottom line, Todd. But
yes.
let's zoom back in on something that you just passed over there ever so briefly, but to me is one of the critical decision inflection points in your life and in your career. Why did you leave a high-paying, high-tech job to work directly with American industry and try to build up American industry in this country?
I can remember when my daughter was born, and she just turned 5, and I was holding her in my hands, and she was looking at me, and I was thinking, you know, what's the future of our nation, and where are we going? What kind of job is she going to have? And what kind of country is she going to live in? When I was a kid, you know, things were getting better, and they were growing. I had my kids a little bit late. I'm in my 40s, and we didn't even lock our doors. And there was no doubt when I was a kid that things were getting better and that America's future was going to be greater year after year. But now it's changed, and it's changed because deindustrialization, because we've moved these factories abroad. These jobs are very important, and it's not just the factory, but all of the suppliers that support that factory. There's a huge economic value to having manufacturing. If we close a factory and we fill it full of lawyers, Bill, we will have less economic activity and we will be poorer.
Well, I would agree with you on any number of levels, Todd, on that. We're talking to Todd Lipscomb, everybody, who is the owner, the creator of a website, which is titled MadeInUSAForever.com. Todd, let's come back to that, because a lot of what you're saying on the surface sounds very gloomy. It sounds very negative.
Right.
In fact, most pundits overlook that America remains a leading manufacturer of sophisticated products. Airplanes, heavy equipment that's used in industrial building and that kind of stuff.
True.
Movies and televisions. And specifically, I'm talking about Boeing, which is this country's number one manufacturing company. Caterpillar, which, if you haven't noticed recently, Caterpillar's stock on the New York Stock Exchange has doubled over the last 12 months because they make earth-moving equipment. They make cranes, the types of things that China, Vietnam, all of these third-world countries that are industrializing need to industrialize. And, of course, Hollywood, where we make most of our movies and our televisions that we not only consume here, but also export abroad, and they're very popular overseas as well. So what am I missing from this equation? America still has a very strong manufacturing base in products that the world seems to want to buy.
That is absolutely true, Bill, but the other point of that is that tens of thousands of factories have closed. Where they have focused on quality and haven't taken their eye off the ball, and just focused on the dollar, like at Caterpillar, they've done very, very well. But there's so many other cases where they're willing to close a factory just to save a few cents, and that's what I'm trying to fight and turn around. I mean, there's little doubt that, for example, the last automobile manufacturing facility on the whole West Coast closed in Fremont last year.
Yes, it did.
And we need to do something about all of this, and people can, though. People have a choice in what they do. You know, when we buy something that's made abroad, a lot of that money goes abroad. But when we buy something that's made in the States, or at least take some effort to consider it, you know, that value ends up staying here if that decision's made to keep it here.
All right. And I think that on the surface, Todd, everybody wants to keep manufacturing here.
Sure.
In the United States. I mean, that is a very noble cause. We can all rally around that. However, there are reasons why the Fremont manufacturing plant closed here in California, and while they're struggling in Detroit versus BMW, Toyota, many of the other manufacturers that are thriving in the South. And a lot of that has to do with union wages and union pensions that these states, the industrialized states like California, like Michigan, Ohio, have to support for their manufacturing, whereas right-to-work states such as Texas, North Carolina, South Carolina, where all of the manufacturing in the United States seems to be moving to, are right-to-work states, and they don't necessarily require unionization. In fact, they frown upon unionization. So talk to me about the role of the unions, because you mentioned it yourself. In China and Vietnam, where the working conditions are horrific, there is no unionization, and as a result, wages remain very, very low. What role does the union, do unions and union pension funds play in the demise of American manufacturing?
I'm not here to defend Detroit, Bill, to be honest, but we can make up for a lot more of the wage difference than people realize. I saw the real numbers when I was overseeing finance in Asia. And the other factors, for example, China keeps their currency artificially low, which alone is a 40% factor in their cost. And then, again, the lack of environmental controls and the lack of worker safety saves them money. We could pay people, including benefits, I believe, about $30 an hour and still be competitive globally, because American workers are better, the quality's better, their ability to adapt is usually better. Now, the unions, I think unions and business need to start to work together to keep manufacturing here in the States rather than be antagonistic towards each other. That era is over, honestly. But we can still have excellent wages and manufacturing in the States if we all work together.
Well, I would agree with you that we need to work together, that unions and management have to work together.
Sure.
I'm not sure that that is actually playing out in Wisconsin at this moment as we speak. However, I would agree with that idea. We're talking to Todd Lipscomb, everybody, the founder and creator of MadeInUSAForever.com, a great website about American manufacturing, and we're talking about just that, keeping manufacturing here in the United States. Todd, I want to change gears just a little bit, if I can, and ask you to differentiate between manufacturing commodity products and products with high intellectual content. And I'm going to, you know, throw into the commodity products even the hard drives that you were working on at Western Digital, which have now become such a commodity.
True.
So let's take a look at commodity products, hard drives being one of them. Washing machine manufacturing, that went to China. Hire, H-I-E-R, is the company that manufactures most of the washing machines in the world today, and that's all being done in China. That's a commodity product. However, defense manufacturing, like Northrop, like you know, all of Lockheed, all of the leading manufacturers, that's still done here in the United States. And interestingly enough, sort of a hybrid, iPads and iPhones are designed here in Cupertino, California, but they're manufactured in China and in Japan. So help differentiate between commodity products and high intellectual content products, and keeping the manufacturing of which type of products in the United States is more crucial to our development.
Well, the commodities actually have been a success story for the United States, especially recently. I mean, we are the number one cotton exporter, for example, in the world. And that's good news, but on the other side of that, the more value that's added to those products, like you mentioned previously with the airplanes, the more jobs we have, the more higher paying jobs we have. I mean, sure, it's great for the farmer when someone buys their cotton abroad and it's shipped abroad and that money comes here, but it's even better when it moves down the food chain and stuff is a value is added to it, you know, along the way. And more jobs are created that way at higher wages. So we, though, you know, if you look in history, the traditional colony was sending the commodities to the home state like England, and then it was being manufactured, whatever it was, and then shipped back out to the colonies.
Right.
And I'm afraid that's sort of what's happening today. You know, we can see huge successes in exporting grains and that sort of thing in the States. But we need to have these value-added jobs. And you're right in the defense industry, though. China's new stealth jet fighter was kind of a surprise. I was amazed to see it fly recently on the pictures when it was supposed to be at least 5 years away.
Mm.
So there's a threat coming on that, potentially. Not that we're going to fight China in the near term, because I sincerely hope we don't. But they're going to be selling that to third-world nations, and we're going to face it, you know, to some degree at some point in the near future. You see, so there is success. There's success in those areas, too, that we're in the defense industry where there's some level of reasonable government and industry cooperation, and when it's prioritized, you know, by our government, where they move in for whatever reason to take care of it. However, most of it's a free-for-all, and to some degree there's some strengths in that, but when other nations are not playing by the same rules that we're playing by, China sees adding every factory as an advantage in the long, long term to become the next superpower, whereas we see just today's quarter's, you know, profit. And that's unfortunate because our middle class is suffering. But again, there is something we can do about it. We need to make changes while we still can. And, you know, for example, I talk about in my new book that's actually just coming out today. It's available at Barnes & Noble, etc., Remade in the USA, that the lack of economic activity because of the trade deficit and the deindustrialization has caused a lot of this revenue issue. You know, you mentioned Wisconsin, and I'm originally from near there in northern Illinois.
Uh-huh.
And it's not just a spending issue. It's also a tax revenue issue. And if revenues are rising, meaning they're getting more tax dollars because there's more economic activity, that means there's you know, more ability for local governments to do things. But what's happened is they've planned at a certain level, and yes, there's some issues. I'm not going to get into that. But now revenue is falling, and it's falling because we stopped making things. And according to the research I did for my book, we could have covered 87% of the federal budget deficit if we taxed the economic activity that other countries absorbed out of our economy.
Oh, an interesting thesis. We're talking to Todd Lipscomb, everybody, who is the founder and creator of MadeInUSAForever.com. So, Todd, let's talk about some of the things that we can do. Tell us about your website, MadeInUSAForever.com.
Sure. If anyone knows any manufacturers that are still making it here, and it has to be truly made here out of U.S. components, then, yeah, they can let us know. We, as I said, have over 420 vendors, and we're adding more every week, new products, too. And, it's growing and adding real value and giving folks a research mechanism to see what's really out there. For example, I know a lot of our customers are depressed that they can't get Levi's made in the States. That used to be a California tradition,
yes,
right?
Yes, it did.
And sadly, Levi's doesn't make any of their jeans. I picked up a pair in Sears the other day, $44, made in China.
Mm.
And, you know, we have jeans on the website for under $30, including free hemming of the length. And that's still profitable, and it's using American cotton. So it's, you know, it's just good across the board to check things out ahead of time, if possible. You know, I'm never going to tell somebody they can't buy something for their kids at Mega Mart or whatever. But, you know, the vast majority of people that come to MadeInUSAForever.com are just doing it to do research and see what's there. And that's free, you know, and that's awesome. And more power to them.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. As the owner, creator of the website, how do you make money at this, Todd?
Well, when they do buy things on the website, if they want to, you know, then either we ship them from the warehouse we have in San Clemente, or our manufacturers will ship to them. And either way, we make a little bit of money.
All right. So it's sort of like an affiliate program. You make money on stuff that gets sold through your website.
It's a little bit more value add than that, especially when we have it in the warehouse here. Because, for example, we have to get the jeans hemmed. So we have, pallets and pallets of jeans here.
Ah, wonderful. Now, why a website, Todd? What was it that about a website that made it an intrinsically good business idea for this MadeInUSAForever.com?
Well, I considered build a catalog, too, but the printing costs were very high, and also, you know, the research I did showed that most people don't bother to carry it into the house. So you can go out and you can buy lists of address and then print something and send it to them, but by the time you get it into their hands, it literally costs several dollars. And then, you know, most people just throw it away. But the website allows people to have instantaneous access any time of day or night, and we can add items immediately. The real estate is, in effect, very cheap. You know, we've worked hard to add real content to it, too, so we're on the front page of Google and Yahoo searches often for the items that we're talking about. And, yeah, that's why it's very efficient. The problem is, to be honest, we're not reaching folks very well who don't have access to a computer. So we're working on something for that.
All right. We've been talking to Todd Lipscomb, who is the founder and the creator of MadeInUSAForever.com. And if you believe strongly in buying products that are made here in this country, you're going to want to check out that site, MadeInUSAForever.com. Todd, in addition to just some of the manufacturers and everything else, if people go to your website, what else are they going to learn? What else can they find on the site?
Well, for example, you know, I know a lot of people are concerned about chemicals and products. We sell a lot of pillows. I mean, spend 8 hours a day on a pillow. We have a pillow made right here in California in the L.A. area where they use American cloth and American stuffing, and that's very rare and very hard to find. You know, I had a customer who had opened a foreign pillow and found that it was actually dirty on the inside, if you can believe it.
Mm.
So, I mean, who wants that? I mean, so, yeah, you can find, I mean, gosh, the magnitude's amazing. We have one of the really nice towel makers, one of the very few left in the States. We have lots of cool tools, stuff for the yard, sportsmen, you know, you name it. It's amazing. The one place we're really getting hit hard is on electronics, and that's embarrassingly small.
Oh, all right.
But everything else, we've pretty much got folks covered.
We're going to have to leave it there, Todd. We've been talking to Todd Lipscomb, who is the founder and creator of MadeInUSAForever.com. Todd, thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.